Wednesday night Bible study here at the Surprise Radio Network. This is Missionary King's Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the Wednesday night Bible study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, first we're going to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you again for another day. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord, right now that you would touch that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, Lord Jesus, knowing that your word says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised thee from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing to do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, first of all, the family and friends who've lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you, Lord Jesus, you to touch and comfort them as only you can through your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. And then for those dealing with COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, I ask you to raise them up out of the battle of election as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then finally, Lord Jesus, for situations like George Floyd and many other wicked situations just like that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the news, on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Wanting to say to those, call 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. You can ask your questions, give your comments, your prayer praise, prayer requests, or any of those kind of things. We'd be glad to hear from you as we get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org on the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, and Ruth, who do we have with us on the gospel bus tonight?
Well, we got the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost band of angels with people in 100 countries. We got you, Sister Emily, and this little old me.
All right, Sister Emily, what do you got for us tonight?
My usual and a special unspoken.
All right, and then, of course, Ruth, what do you got?
Got a strange headache. It's across my forehead and in front of my eyes, so probably just too much eye work.
All right, and we know, of course, Six's request is always his family, his friends, his fans, and, of course, as he says, your family, your friends, your fans, my family, my friends, my fans, etc., the whole world in general, and then, of course, our prayer request for the bus, for the ministry, my health, your health, and, of course, police officers, our military, government, and, of course, in general, for everybody in the hospitals, nursing homes, Emily's mom, and just in general, everybody out there. Amen.
I'll also pray for Reverend and Mrs. Quick, and I'm praying for Emily, too. She's got some serious issues in her body. I think the Lord can heal.
Amen. All right. Well, with that, is everybody ready to boogie tonight?
Let's go.
Okay, well, let's do it. Amen.
Several years ago, when I was a kid in school, our class was reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day, and the school principal walked in, and he stepped in front of the class, and looking real serious, he said, I have been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester. And it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. So, if I may, I would like to recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word. I, we, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom. And wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United, and that means that we have all come together. States, individual communities that have united into 48 great states, 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose, all divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose, and that's love for country and to the Republic. Republic, a state in which sovereign powers is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern, and government is the people, and it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people, for which it stands. One nation. One nation meaning, oh, so blessed by God. Indivisible, incapable of being divided. With liberty, which is freedom. The right of power to live one's own life without threats, fears, or some sort of retaliation. And justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. For all, which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And since I was that small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Oh, wouldn't it be a pity if someone said it's a prayer, and that would be eliminated from our schools, too.
This here song goes out to all of my special friends that I've had to let go throughout all the years.
Here is where the road divides. Here is where we realize the sculpting of the Father's great design. Your time. Been a friend to me, but time is now the enemy. I wish we didn't have to say goodbye, but I know the road he chose for me is not the road he chose for you. So as we chase the dreams we're after, pray for me. And I'll pray for you, pray that we will keep the common ground. Won't you pray for me? And I'll pray for you. Pray that love will bring us back around again. Paint it on a tapestry, see the way it has to be, weaving through the laughter and the tears. Love will be the tie that binds us through the time we leave behind us. Memories will be our souvenirs. But I know that through it all, the hardest part of love is letting go. But there's a greater love that holds us. Pray for me, and I'll pray for you. Pray that we will keep the common ground. Won't you pray for me, and I'll pray for you. Pray that love will bring us back around. Won't you pray for me? And I'll pray for you. Pray that we will keep the common ground. Won't you pray for me? And I'll pray for you. Pray that we will keep the common ground. Oh, I know that love will bring us back around again. Won't you pray for me?
Before we say amen, on the fish.
Lord, stay with them. Ain't done nothing. Please, won't you leave them just a little bit of room to swim?
Pray for the fish. Lord, pray for the fish.
Walk beside of him,
I am strong enough. All this time he knew what a son can do with a father's love. Well, he could change the world. You only have to look at Joseph a couple thousand years ago. He held a newborn baby, he named Jesus. He said he may not be blood of my blood, still I'm gonna raise him up. I'll provide for him, walk beside of him. I am strong enough. I will show him too what a son can do with a father's love. And he will change the world. 33 years later, when the son was in his grave, broken and abandoned by a world he came to save, his real dad said, he's mine, blood of my blood. Yeah, I'm gonna raise him. Walk beside of you, I am strong enough. I have seen from you what a son can do with a father's love. One man changed the world, and he can change your world. Gotta raise him up. Raise him up. It's been 2,000 years, but the story's still the same. For those who will believe in him and call upon his name, the sun's gonna rise and shine. Heal the sick, raise the dead, and save all mankind. The day will soon be dawning, will be the end of time. King, King, Lord, Lord, the sun's gonna rise and shine.
I'm a missionary. Come home.
promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and for me.
I now can see. Every minute of the day.
street. Then I found a friend who shed a little light for me to see. He's the keeper of my sunshine. In his hands he holds the key. My sunshine man means everything to me. He's my sunshine man every minute of the day. He's my sunshine man, never very far away. When my heart is heavy burden and I need a helping hand, I can always call upon my sunshine man.
Call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking in Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Agony toward my mind. I'm a statistic. And when I first got here, I felt very much alone. I was overwhelmed with grief, and I expected to find something. But oh, I found no sympathy. I only saw thousands of others whose bodies were as badly mangled as mine. I was given a number and placed in a category. The category was called topic fatality. Now, the day I died was an ordinary school day. Oh, how I wish I'd taken the bus. But I was too soon for the bus. I remembered how I'd conned my mom out of her car that day. A special favor, I believe, because all the other kids drive. And when the perfect bell rang that day, I threw my books in my locker. I'm free until 8:40 tomorrow morning. Oh, I ran to the parking lot, excited at the thought of having a car, being my own boss, being free. Now, it doesn't matter how the accident happened. I'm just goofing off, I guess. Going a little too fast, smoking a little pot, taking crazy chances. But I was enjoying my freedom and having myself a ball. And the very last thing I remember was passing an old lady who seemed to be going awful slow. Then I heard the deafening crash and felt a terrific jolt. Glass and steel flew everywhere. My whole body seemed to be turning inside out. And then I heard myself scream. Suddenly I awakened, and it was very quiet. This police officer was standing over me. Then I saw this doctor. My body was so mangled, I was saturated with blood. Pieces of jagged glass were sticking out all over my body. And I thought it strange that I didn't feel anything. Hey, mister, don't throw that sheet over my head. I can't be dead. I'm only 17. I've got a date tonight. I'm supposed to grow up and have a wonderful life. I can't be dead. But later, I was placed in a morgue on a cold slab, and my folks had to identify me. Oh, why did they have to see me like this? Why did I have to look into my mom's eyes when she had just been through the most terrible ordeal of her life? And my dad, he suddenly looked like an old man as he told the man in charge, yes, that's our son. And it was a real experience. I saw all my relatives and friends walk towards my casket. They passed by one by one and looked at me with the saddest eyes I guess I'd ever seen. Some of my buddies were crying, and my girlfriend touched my hand and sobbed as she walked away. Please, somebody wake me up and get me out of here. I can't bear to see my mom and dad so broken up, and my grandparents are so racked with grief they can barely walk, and my brother and sister are like zombies walking around in a daze. Please, somebody. No one can believe this, and I can't believe it myself. Please don't bury me. I can't be dead. I have a lot of living to do. I want to laugh and run again. I want to sing and dance. Oh, please don't put me in the ground. I promise you to give me one more chance, God. I'll be the most careful driver in the whole wide world. All I'm asking is one more chance, God. Please, I'm only 17.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are here. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait.
Never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
All right, tonight we have a unique little message out of a very familiar passage. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. But what we're going to do, we're going to go verse by verse. So we'll start with John chapter 1 and verse 1. John chapter 1 and verse 1.
The beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Now, as you notice, the Word in this text, the Word, W-O-R-D, is capitalized. So we're talking about the Word of God, the Word in human flesh. And he was God, and he was with God. So he was the same as God. Amen. And we're looking John chapter 1, verse 2.
The same was in the beginning with God.
Now you notice something else? The same one, the Word, became an arm. You don't find that half-breed. You don't find that half-breed in your fossils. So get over it. Amen. John chapter 1 and verse 4.
In him was life, and the life was the light of men.
You remember Genesis chapter 1? It says God when he formed man to the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Well, it was the Word who did that. The Word, Jesus Christ, who breathed into the nostrils of man and gave him the breath of life. It was Christ himself. John chapter 1 and verse 5.
The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not.
Ooh, we go back to Genesis again. Remember? It says, and then the light came about, and the light, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Well, it was because Christ was there, and he was the light, and dispelled that darkness, because Christ already was there, and he was the light, and the darkness did not comprehend that light. John chapter 1, verse 6.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Believe.
So John came to do what? His main job was to bear witness to the light. Now, what was his goal? To bear witness to the light. Who is the light? Jesus. And he bared witness to that light because the light would be the Savior of all men. John chapter 1 and verse 8.
He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light.
Now you notice, it says John was not that light. It's Christ. He is the light that came to lighten the lives of all men. That's why when Christ came, he showed that despite the fact that we could not live up to the law, he could. And doing so, we now know that Christ came to die for our sins. John chapter 1, verse 10.
He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not.
Ooh, isn't that pretty awful? Though they had already been warned throughout the whole Old Testament who he was, who the Messiah would be. They were... prophecies had been given about him over and over and over and over again, and yet they did not recognize him. And our last verse, John chapter 1, verse 12.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Isn't that awesome? To them that call upon his name, those that believe on him, God has for you to become one of the children of God. It's simple. Ask Christ into your heart. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 say, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Bible also says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off, my friend. Do it today. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. See, it's not what you do. It's what he already did. And the Bible does say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the only way into heaven. He said furthermore that any man that comes up any other way is a thief and a robber. So if you think you're going to get to heaven through Mary, you think you're going to come through your good works, the good things that you do, your religious ceremonies, whatever, you think that's going to get you into heaven, that you've been baptized, the fact that you do communion, whatever. None of that is going to get you into heaven. Church membership, how much you tithe, none of it's going to do it. You have to have Christ and Christ alone. Do it today. Don't put it off, because tomorrow can be too late. Amen. And now it is time for Sister Ruth to tell us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
The Apostle Paul was writing to the fold. He said, be brave, be confident, be bold. For you know the crown of life awaits you when your trials here on earth have come and gone. Now there will come many prophets who'll speak falsely. You must stand firm, toe-to-toe and eye-to-eye. Tell them Jesus was exactly who he claimed to be, and his word must not be compromised. So I won't compromise the message of the gospel. I'll raise my hand and take a stand for what is right. He didn't compromise for me when he died on Calvary. The word of Christ I will not compromise. The apostle's message still applies today. For there are those who'd like to live their own way. They ignore the writing found in God's holy word, and his message gets compromised away. Oh, but I'll stand for the truth and for the light, and let his holy word through me keep shining bright. He's the one who gave his life for me at Calvary. So his word I just won't compromise. So I won't compromise the message of the gospel. I'll raise my hand and take a stand for what is right. He didn't compromise for me when he died on Calvary. The word of Christ I will not compromise. So I won't compromise the message of the gospel.
Church and the world walked far apart on the changing shores of time. The world was singing a giddy song, and the church a hymn sublime. Come, give me your hand, cried the merry world, and walk with me this way. But the good church hid her snowy hand and solemnly answered, nay. I will not give you my hand at all, and I will not walk with you. Your way is the way of endless death. Your words are all untrue. Nay, walk with me but a little space, said the world with a kindly air. The road I walk is a pleasant road, and the sun shines always there. Your path is thorny and rough and rude, and mine is broad and plain. My road is paved with flowers and gems, and yours with tears and pain. The sky above me is always blue, no want, no toil I know. The sky above you is always dark. Your lot is a lot of woe. My path, you see, is a broad, fair path, and my gate is high and wide. There is room enough for you and for me to travel side by side. How shyly the church approached the world and gave him her hand of snow. The old world grasped it and walked along, saying in accents low, your dress is too simple to please my taste. I will give you pearls to wear, rich velvet and silks for your graceful form, and diamonds to deck your hair. The church looked down at her plain white robes and then at the dazzling world and blushed as she saw his handsome lip with a smile contemptuous curled. "I will change my dress for a costlier one," said the church with a smile of grace. Then her pure garments drifted away, and the world gave in their place beautiful satins and shiny silks and roses and gems and pearls, and over her forehead her bright hair fell, crest in a thousand curls. "Your house is too plain," said the proud old world. "I'll build you one like mine, carpets of Brussels and curtains of lace and furniture ever so fine." So he built her a costly and beautiful house. Splendid it was to behold. Her sons and her beautiful daughters dwelt there, gleaming in purple and gold, and fairs and shows in the halls were held, and the world and his children were there. And laughter and music and feasts were heard in the place that was meant for prayer. She had cushioned pews for the rich and the great to sit in their pomp and their pride, while the poor folks, glad in their shabby suits, sat meekly down outside. The angel of mercy flew over the church and whispered, "I know thy sin." The church looked back with a sigh and longed to gather her children in. But some were off in the midnight ball, and some were off at the play, and some were drinking in gay saloons. So she quietly went her way. The sly world gallantly said to her, "Your children meant no harm, merely indulging in innocent sports." So she leaned on his proffered arm and smiled and chatted and gathered flowers as she walked along with the world, while millions and millions of deathless souls to the horrible pit were hurled. "Your preachers are all too old and plain," said the gay old world with a sneer. "They frighten my children with dreadful tales, which I like not for them to hear. They talk of brimstone and fire and pain and the horrors of endless night. They talk of a place that should not be mentioned to ears polite. I will send you some of the better stamp, brilliant and gay and fast, who will tell them that people may live as they list and go to heaven at last. The Father is merciful and great and good, tender and true and kind. Do you think he would take one child to heaven and leave the rest behind?" So he filled her house with gay divines, gifted and great and learned, and the plain old men that preached the cross were out of the pulpit turned. "You give too much to the poor," said the world, "far more than you ought to do. The poor need shelter and food and clothes. Why need it trouble you? Go, take your money and buy rich robes and horses and carriage fine and pearls and jewels and dainty food and the rarest and costliest wine. My children, they dote on all such things. And if you their love could win, you must do as they do and walk in the ways that they are walking in." The church held tightly the strings of her purse and gracefully lowered her head and simpered, "I've given too much away. I'll do, sir, as you have said." So the poor were turned from her door in scorn, and she heard not the orphan's cry, and she drew her beautiful robes aside. As the widows went weeping by, the sons of the world and the sons of the church walked closely hand and heart, and only the Master who knoweth all could tell the two apart. Then the church sat down at her ease and said, "I am rich and in goods increased. I have need of nothing and not to do but to laugh and dance and feast." The sly world heard her and laughed in his sleeve and mockingly said aside, "The church is fallen, the beautiful church, and her shame is her boast and pride." The angel drew near to the mercy seat and whispered in sighs her name, and the saints their anthems of rapture hushed and covered their heads with shame. And a voice came down through the hush of heaven from him who sat on the throne, "I know thy works and how thou hast said, I am rich and hast not known, that thou art naked and poor and blind and wretched before my face. Therefore, from my presence I cast thee out and blot thy name from its place."
All right, Ruth, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
Cast not your pearls before swine. Some people, no matter how much you try, they won't accept the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Well. Sorry. It's a good answer, but not what we're looking for. In both cases, the song was telling you not to compromise the gospel, and the poem was definitely talking about the world compromising with the church compromising with the world. So don't compromise the gospel was what we were looking for. So you know that because the song was not talking about casting pearl before swine. So that was definitely not the common message. So you are now 15 for 21.
Well, see, what I thought was that scripture said cast your pearls before swine because some people, no matter how much you try, they don't want to accept Jesus, and they should accept Jesus, but they just bullheaded hypocrites.
Very, very true, but...
In the Holy Bible, it tells of a day when the beast walk among us and many shall fall away. Famine, war, and desolation, nation rising against nation, trouble everywhere you turn. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of men, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn. Seven miles are rumbling, and the seven drums.
prophet sign. Read the book of Revelation for yourself.
Lesson, when God breaks Russia's hammer and bends her sickle. When Jesus Christ comes back to the earth at the time of the Battle of Armageddon, Revelation 19:11 through 19, the Bible tells us that he is to be met in fierce opposition by all the nations of the world under the leadership of Satan's Antichrist. Scripture, and I saw the beast, Antichrist, and the kings of the earth and their army gathered together to make war against him, Jesus Christ, and set on the horse and against his army. Revelation 19:19 in KJV. The only reason we should read that verse of Scripture is that we might accurately see that near the close of the seven-year tribulation period by which the Antichrist will have been ruling the earth for 42 months, Jesus Christ will return to the earth, and he will be opposed by the satanic Antichrist who has gathered a representative army, the nations of the world, totaling 200 million soldiers. In other words, for 42 months, for 3.5 years before the Battle of Armageddon, all the people dwelling upon the earth, including Russia, will be worshiping and adhering in every facet of life to the wrathful will and dictatorial rule of Satan's Antichrist. Now, Scripture, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, Antichrist, Revelation 13:8, KJV. From this prophetic scripture, we see the last half of the tribulation period is to be dominated from a dictator standpoint by the great satanic Antichrist, who will be ruling the governments of this world to the fist of iron. Every nation upon the earth, including Russia, will be bending its Antichrist rule. Here's the big question, which comes into my mind. What has happened to Russia, to the north of the state of Israel? You don't think for a moment, do you, that in her present frame of mind, with her vast war machine, Russia would allow Satan's Antichrist to rule her, much less the world? Absolutely not. Today's Russia is bent on having her way in all matters. Therefore, in the light of the scripture, we see that something must have happened to the great country of Russia, or else Satan's Antichrist will not have been able to continue on the world scene, absolutely control every facet of life, including economic, social, religious, and military. What has happened to Russia at this time? Please remember, the Antichrist is to be an ingenious instrument in the rising of the old Roman Empire and Russia. Even though today she is the second largest military power upon the face of the world, will be no place in that ill-contrived plan of Satan when the 10 toes on the 2 feet of the image in Nebuchadnezzar's dream began to take their place on the world scene as government powers. We must admit that Russia does have a great military machine, and sometime along the way, before the world arrives at the last half of the tribulation period, there must be a disquieting or an eliminating of Russia as a great military power. Therefore, Russia must be reduced to her military power before the Battle of Armageddon, or else the Antichrist will not be able to assemble soldiers for that battle. Writing about 600 years before the first coming of Christ, the prophet Ezekiel very plainly sets forth the whole invasion, same as it will gradually unfold before our eyes in all probability during our lifetime. In the book of Ezekiel, God gave certain instructions for the prophet concerning the whole situation when he said, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal." Ezekiel 38:1-3. In those three verses of prophetic scripture, we have Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal mentioned. In order to trace the obscure origin of the people mentioned in these first few verses of Ezekiel 38, it's necessary for us to go back into biblical history and make certain authentic explorations and careful examinations. This caller originally came from one of the three sons of Noah. Let's establish this fact from God's word.
scripture. There are the three sons of Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and one of them was the whole world, and all of them was the whole earth overspread for or populated. In Genesis 9:19, KJV, to study the subject, we have established the fact that everybody living on the earth today came from one of the three sons of Noah, namely Ham, Shem, and Japheth. We want to establish from scripture and ancient history that Ezekiel in chapter 38 of this book was talking about modern-day Russia. As we've just seen, the three sons of Noah were Ham, Shem, and Japheth. From Psalm 106:22, we learn that Ham settled in his own land south of the Mediterranean Sea. Shem settled in the land east of the Mediterranean. And Japheth settled north of the Mediterranean. And the names of Japheth's several sons were Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tyrus. Scripture. The son of Japheth, Gomer and Magog, and Madai and Javan, and Tubal and Meshech, and Tyrus. Genesis 10:2, KJV. Through the aid of great historians, we trace the sons of Japheth, and we find the Celtic family descended from Gomer, the Scythians or Tartars descended from Magog, the Medes descended from Madai, the Greeks, Syrians, and the people of southern Spain described from Javan, while the descendants of Meshach are settled in the land which is now known as Russia, but including the territory which is annexed to Russia by Peter the Great or by any of his successors. Historians tell us that the Scythians and Tartars settled in the portion of Russia north of the Black Sea and east of the Carpathian Mountains. This gives them a portion of the Caucasus district, southern Russia, which lies east and west of the Caspian Sea. We further learn from the descendants of Tubal, they came to settle in the country, the territory south of the Black Sea, and they gradually spread up into the Caucasian Mountains. Most historians have agreed that the people of the Kabbalist district in Russia are the ones who are perpetrating the tribal name of Tubal. The descendants of Meshech settled in the northern part of the Caucasus district and spread north to Moscow. Noah Webster, on a bridge dictionary, says the Moshi, plural for Meshech, is an ancient people of the Caucasus district, the Meshech of the scriptures. So we definitely establish from God's word in history the people who presidently inhabit and populate Russia are the descendants of Magog, Tubal, and Meshech, and they are the great-great-grandchildren of one of Noah's sons, Japheth. In the light of the authentic information from the Bible and history, one would wonder why Russia is mentioned in the Bible at all. And evidently, it's something of a calamitous nature must be going to happen in Russia in the future about which God wants us to know, or else why he would devote so much prophetic scripture in one country located in the south of Palestine. Why would he have the prophets of old write so much of the Bible about one country? Country that country would not to be prominent in the last days when those prophecies will be fulfilled. Time of their fulfillment is getting near. First of all, we let us establish once and for all that Russia is a godless country. Looking back through the scriptures at certain Gentile nations such as Babylon, in Syria and others, we find that those nations which were used of God to punish the Israelites were always godless nations. After they were used of God to punish the Israelites, they were themselves in turn always severely punished for what they had done in natural way to the Israelites. Israel is mentioned, or Russia is mentioned by prophetic scripture simply because he's going to be used of God in a vast godless country to punish Israel. And then in turn, Russia is going to receive her punishment from God. God will be justified in doing so because of the godlessness of Russia. Whether you're particularly familiar with it or not, the spirit of atheism, which is an international fountainhead in Russia, is beginning to take its deadly toll throughout the whole world. The Bible speaks of the spirit of atheism as being primarily covered in the countries to the north of Pakistan. Scripture, and I turned and launched up my eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains. The black horses which are therein go forth into the north country. Behold, these that go forth, the north country, have quieted my spirit in the north country. Zechariah 6:1-8. Both the Bolsheviks of Russia willfully wasted power from the anti-government 5 years or 5 months after the Tsar was overthrown, and formed the Communist Party, the spirit of atheism that has been growing and reducing itself in Russia till today. The name of God has been quiet in the North country. For a newspaper report, we learned the Kazan country. From a newspaper report, we learned the Kazan country. From a newspaper report, we learned from Kazan, Cathedral of Leningrad is the center of atheism in Russia. In this school of anti-God, its missionaries preach sermons in the school of anti-God in reverse. Its goal is to put Russia's few remaining churches out of business. Russia is doing everything in her power to eliminate the name of God from the vocabulary of every one of her citizens. The spirit of atheism is beginning to spread all over the world because the foundation of the satanic religion is a great country to the north of the state of Israel, and its disciples are very active. The spirit of atheism, or no God, which permeates the lives of most of Russia's citizens, is going to be one of the reasons why God will use godless Russia to come down into the state of Israel to punish the Israelites. This will give God justifiable reasons for bringing his wrath upon Russia when the city of Jerusalem drawing a circle and bringing all land surface inside that circle. You see that bringing all land surfaces inside. And Jerusalem is in the geographical center of the Earth's land surface. I recently did this with a flat map of the world after having done it for several years, and I was actually covered with good samples when the experiment was over, and to realize the carefulness and exactness of God's holy word. This is my mind. We put north to Jerusalem, and we see the vast Soviet Union, approximately 20 to 240 million people. And the scripture tells us they are quieted by God's spirit in the north country. Since World War II, Russia has been pointing multitudes of millions of dollars of financial help from the Middle East Arab countries. Russia financed the building of the Aswan High Dam in Egypt. Russia had been buying her way into political prominence in the Middle East, anticipating the day when the iron will be hot, so she could strike at the bottom of Israel and invade that land, according to ancient peoples. Of course, there are those who wonder when and why Russia will actually invade the nation of Israel. May I suggest that we answer these questions by reading through two verses of scripture from the pen of Ezekiel and approximately 2,600 years ago. Scripture is that also shall come to pass at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. To the day of the Lord, which is the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth, and three, the day of Jehovah, unity. Realizing that we've already been in man's day, appreciating things 1,000 years, we have many intelligent reasons to believe that we are now approaching the latter years as foretold in Scripture. The incidents of a calamitous nature outlined by the prophet Ezekiel in the 38th chapter and the first 16 verses of the 39th chapter of the book, bearing his name, yet see yet the future, and we have every practical reason to believe that they will happen in conjunction with the invasion of the state of Israel by a great military force to the north of the city of Jerusalem. One particular fact I would like to establish with you is that Satan is the prince of this world system. Scripture, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. 1 John 5:18. A little translation of this verse should be: the whole world is under the power of the wicked one. We must remember that Satan's power is limited. God is all powerful, but Satan is working as a mighty force in this world under the permission will of God. In other words, it will be in order for the whole overall prophetic plan of God to be culminated. There are certain satanic evils being allowed and permitted to God today. One of them is the worldwide or preparation for the great and calamitous battle of Armageddon. Thus will be a war instituted by Satan under the pretense of having the armies of the world attack the Israelites. But to this case, the Israelites are only going to be used as bait to draw the armies of the world to the Middle East so they may be concentrated in battle array to oppose Jesus Christ when he returns to the earth and with the saints to reign for 1,000 years. This great and final conflagration is to be headed up and controlled by Satan's Antichrist. At the present time,
would be impossible to bring on the world scene. Present time would be impossible to bring the world scene. A military leader such as the Antichrist would be because Russia would violently oppose him and do everything in her power to stop him. Therefore, Satan is doing the use of God in the being of this great entire country out of the north, puts down into the Middle East, where she will unknowingly stumble along the way to her final burial in the state of Israel. The evil thought, which we have discussed, tells us that she's going to have her evil eye focused on the wealth and material abundantly of the Middle East, and she will attack the land of Israel in overzealous manner. Naturally, such an attack on the state of Israel by a godless Gentile territory in the north of Jerusalem is going to warrant the fury of God upon her. That's why the Bible says, Scripture, it shall come to pass at that time when God will come up against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy and the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Truly in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. Ezekiel 38:18-19. For the benefit of those who may not have been thought to sometime, it's Ezekiel 38 and the first 16 verses of Ezekiel 39 were part of the Battle of Armageddon. May I tell you that these two battles are not the same. They are two distinct battles. The battle of the invasion attack on the state of Israel by a nation to the north could not possibly be the Battle of Armageddon, because in the fact six verses of Ezekiel 38, we have the countries named and outlined which come down again before Israel. Then in Revelation 19, we have the countries which are to take part in the Battle of Armageddon, and this battle, the Word of God tells us, kings of the earth and their armies are there to oppose Christ. There are two different wars. The attack on Israel by a Gentile country to the north is to be led by a man whose name is Gog. The leader of the Armageddon War is to be the Ark of Christ, or the first beast of the Book of Revelation. Naturally, it isn't possible to establish a date for Roman's attack upon the state of Israel, but as we have observed her frenzied activities among the Middle East, East Arab countries since World War II have known that the time getting ripe for such an invasion. Furthermore, we know the time is getting ripe for every person. Furthermore, we know the attack upon the state of Israel by the powerful military country to the north, Jerusalem, must take place in the first part of the seven-year tribulation period, because the satanic Antichrist will be ruling supreme upon the earth for at least the next 42 months. Or the time there will be no place in the plan of satanic military aspirations for two great leaders, Gog and the land of Magog and the Antichrist. As we observe the frenzied activities on the part of the Soviet Union and her acts of potential political benevolences in the Middle East, that something of an unusual nature is brewing in that part of the world, which will only lead toward an eventual invasion of the state of Israel. The time of the invasion of Israel, God's fury and wrath to be poured out upon the invading army, and the Bible most emphatically says, and I will plead against him, Gog, who with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his hands, and upon the many people who are with him, an everlasting rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. And I will turn thee back and will leave thee for the sixth part of the hour. And I will cause thee to come down from the north parts and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands and the people that is with thee. Ezekiel 38:22-39, 2 and 4. So great was the wholesale slaughter of the invading soldiers from the north that the Bible says it requires 7 months for the house of Israel to bury all the dead bodies. Scripture, and 7 months shall be the house of Israel before. Okay. During the great calamitous fury of God, which will be poured out upon the invading army from the north, bodies will be torn apart and scattered throughout the battlefields of the state of Israel. If necessary, according to the ancient religion of Israel, that there will be no dead bodies or parts of bodies left on top of the earth, and a nationwide search will be made of the battlefields, employing specifically trained men to search out the land, looking for bits of bodies such as bones and skeletons. Wendell specifically trained people find a place to a bone or skeleton on a human body. They'll place a miniature on the ground beside that piece of body in order that a burying party coming along behind them later on can buy that individual piece of human flesh. Scripture, yet all the people of the land shall bury them, and it shall be to them that renounce the city that I be glorified, saith the Lord God. And they shall never see men of continual employment passing through the land to bury with the passengers those that remain upon the face of the earth to cleanse it. After the end of 7 months shall they search. And the passengers that pass through the land when sense a man's bone and shall set up a sign to it toward the buyers that have buried it in the valley of Hemagog. Ezekiel 39, verses 13 to 15 in the King James Version. Great calamitous events are yet to take place in the Middle East countries, and especially the descent of Israel before the world covers, moves into the Battle of Armageddon. God is going to break Russia's hammer and bend her sickle because of her ungodliness and because of her sinful, unprovoked invasion of the state of Israel. God is going to rain natural disaster down upon the invading army to such a degree that it requires 7 months to bury the dead, forcing the government of Israel to employ special searches to hunt out pieces of bodies. They'll all be buried underneath the soil in order to physically and religiously cleanse the land. This particular prophecy of Ezekiel has never taken place. The Bible says it will come to pass in the latter years. Dramatic circumstances in the Middle East are beginning to formulate themselves at this very moment, and they could be the beginning of the fulfillment of the major Bible prophecy. We're beginning to see a frenzied and dramatic actions taking place in the Middle East countries, which will very easily ignore the disastrous fires and other world war. My sincere reason for inserting this lesson is to alert you to world happenings which are exactly in accordance with the prophecy of the Bible. Please remember, if the prophecies written in the pages of this blessed old book, the Bible, will come to pass quite exactly as they were written, regardless of the complex sinful attitudes and energies of wayward mankind, God says a great man on the earth to the north of Jerusalem will invade the state of Israel in the later years. We're seeing last-minute groundwork which will be proving God's word is true. Closing, might suggest that you read Isaiah 38 and 39, 1 through 16, with careful interest. And so, our next lesson will be in that night.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
Welcome to the Six Eyes Stay Warm But Safe segment, where it is better to be warm and safe than cold and in your grave. Today, I'd like to talk to you about safety with different types of heating. First of all, let me talk to you about furnaces, whether gas, propane, or oil. First of all, have your furnace looked at by a well-qualified technician. Not your aunt, your uncle, your cousin, your brother, whatever that claims they know what they're doing, but a well-qualified technician who is with the school for such things. Also, be sure to change your air filter once a month, and be sure there are no debris, clutter, etc. around your furnace. Moving on, let's talk about fireplaces. We're talking about the gas type fireplaces or wood burning fireplaces. These areas must be well vented through a chimney. Be sure there is no clutter near the hearth, etc., and children should not be allowed to play in such an area. Also, be sure there is no debris close to the area that could catch fire. Now let's talk about space heaters. There are many types on the market today. First, let's talk about electric space heaters. Be sure socket. B be sure while the unit is working and running that the plug is not getting warm. If it gets warm, replace the electric heater. This is because it can overheat the plug and cause melting of the plug and an electrical fire. Secondly, check the length of the cord from the plug to the electric heater to make sure there is no melting or fraying of the cord, which can cause a fire. Also, be sure all cords are not under or around the space heater itself where it can be overheated or cause a trip hazard that has fans. Do not place anything on the area of the space heater where the fan is pulling air into the fan, known as the intake valves. This can cause the heater to overheat and burst into flames. Also, put nothing on the outgoing air because of the same reason for the cause of fire. In fact, nothing should be on any space heater of any type because of the reason that they can cause fire. Now let's talk about propane and kerosene heaters. These types of space heaters, require proper venting. They should not be used in a closed house without proper ventilation. Without proper ventilation, these heaters could cause the CO2 to build up. You would start to feel sleepy, fall asleep, and never wake up again to see your family, and they would be very saddened at your passing. So do not use these space heaters without proper ventilation. Finally, let's talk about what they call torpedo heaters or propane heaters. Some also are run by kerosene, and these heaters have a fan that takes the heat source and makes it at an extreme more heat for the buck, as they say. The fan blows across the heat source and makes it hotter. These heaters are usually used in a garage-type environment. Once again, because of the heat source, propane or kerosene must be properly vented. Should never be used inside of a home without proper ventilation due to the CO2 buildup. As I stated before, this is true of all heaters, no matter their type, whether in your fireplace, space heater, torpedo heater, whatever, teenagers, or yes, even you adults, should never allow children to play around them, nor should you touch them while in operation. These are causes for serious burns. We do not want you to be burned due to your space heater. Remember, proper space for your heater, proper checking of the electrical, and proper use are all important when using heaters. And finally, we want to reiterate with what we started with at the beginning of this segment. Here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, we want you to be safe but warm. Business Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind, providing reference material as well as Bibles, as well as other material to help those who are visually inconvenienced. Also, we educate those in the body of Christ as to the needs and abilities of those who are visually inconvenienced. We would appreciate a love gift from you to help us keep our ministry going. There are several methods you can do to help keep us going. First off, you could visit our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's HOLINESSBIBLESFORTHEBLIND.org. Once you put that in your browser and you click enter, go down the home page to where it says Love Offerings. Click that. And you will be on our secure PayPal button and secure PayPal page. You there can use your credit card or PayPal account to give a secure donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Also, you can send a check or money order for the blind. You send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Again, send your check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. And God will richly bless you for your love gift, and we here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much. Amen.
If you'd like to get a copy of this show or any of the shows here at the Skies Radio Network, here's how you can go about doing that. First off, if you have a smartphone or tablet, just go to the podcast section on your smartphone or tablet and enter Six Eyes Radio. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space R-A-D-I-O. After you've entered that and clicked enter, then you'll see us pop up there. And once we do, just click subscribe. And once you do, you'll have us right there at your fingertips 7 days a week. And you'll be able to listen to us morning, noon, or night, anytime at your desire, any time of the week. If you're an Android or Apple user, you will first need to download the iHeartRadio app. The iHeartRadio app. Once you've downloaded iHeartRadio, then you do the same procedure. You go to iHeartRadio, click on that app. Then, when you're on there, you type in Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that, click enter. You'll see us pop up there. Then click subscribe, and you'll have us 7 days a week. And you'll be able to enjoy. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
All right, and Ruth, who do we got with us at the end of the show here?
Nope, still got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost Band of Angels, and we got those people in 100 countries, and you and me.
Well, with that, since we already know what all the prayer requests we've had, we're going to leave you give us a closing prayer, and we'll be out of here.
Well, Lord, you know all the requests, and I can't remember them all, but you do, and that's what matters. And we just want to praise and bless your name for being our creator, Jesus, our Savior, and the Holy Ghost for being our comforter. So we love you so much tonight. Amen.
Amen. I want to remind everybody to join us tomorrow night on Thursday night here at the Six Eyes Radio Network for the truth of the matter at 9 p.m. only here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. God bless everybody. Have a good night.